Welcome to The Calling, a new podcast from St. James Episcopal Church in Skaneateles. On this show, we'll share music, scripture, thoughts for your life, and we'll also hang out with local folks who are passionate about the way they feel called to take care of their community. So, without further delay, there's a call coming in. Are you listening? Welcome back, folks. This week, we have an interview with Josh Allen of Taproot. Before that, music and, of course, scripture reading and a message. But our message is brought to you this week by a very special guest, my co-producer on this podcast and the director of Congregational Life and Children's Ministry here at St. James. And now, with that message, here's Laura Pisesnik.
Today's scripture is found in the book of Galatians. It is Galatians 6, verse 9. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. As we look at this verse for guidance and deeper meaning, it initially appears pretty straightforward. The word suggests that we should all faithfully keep doing good and follow the way of God and not give up, for someday we shall reap the reward in the kingdom of heaven. Seems simple and easy enough to follow. I can't believe I said that with a straight face. Given the current status of the world today, socially, politically, economically, spiritually, and environmentally, not giving up is a very tall order. The pandemic and negativity seem to drown out many of the voices of good. War, violence, and illness have replaced peace, innovation, and a healthy lifestyle. Selfishness is preferred to consideration and love for our neighbor. How then do we, as faithful followers of Jesus, use this scripture verse in the year 2022? Together, over the next few minutes, we will break down this short yet fruitful verse to see if we can provide more than superficial inspiration and examine closer the role of farming so often used in scripture. Let's first explore the descriptive phrase, reap a harvest. What does that truly mean to us today? Does it really have the same impact as it did so long ago? A successful and bountiful harvest was once considered a momentous event. Worship services, large gatherings, and even festive parties were thrown to celebrate great harvests. Gone are those celebrations and honoring traditions. In this scripture passage, it could be said the harvest refers to the kingdom of heaven. Given the trials and tribulations facing the world today, there are some who have become jaded, doubting, and questioning the foundations of our faith. Why work so hard to swim against the flow of today's world that rewards selfishness? As children of faith, it's imperative we believe that God's harvest will produce a kingdom free of pain, free of violence, free of illness, free of injustice, where everyone exists in pure love and happiness. God wants us all in his kingdom. Clearly, that promise is worth pursuing. Following the easy path may make the moment or day easier, but when reflected upon in context of the big picture, only puts us farther from achieving true peace and happiness with God. Everyone could use concrete strategies to combat the inundation of life's hurdles. Possibly the tools we need can be shown to us by the farmer. The Bible is full of references to farming and harvesting. This makes sense as being a farmer was a key and popular profession. Doctors, lawyers, dentists, financial analysts, realtors, for example, were not yet viable jobs or, frankly, in need. Choices were greatly reduced back in the biblical times. If you wanted to be someone essential and important, you chose to be a farmer. Is the same reference paid to farmers today as in biblical times? Maybe not. But each day, as we hear of shortages that help open our eyes, making small steps towards the realization that we must not take for granted anything, especially the gift of food and crops. I can think of nothing more perfect to represent good than food or crops grown as they are essential for life. Farmers and growers alike do good each day as it is their career, their calling. In ages past, farmers were looked upon as creators and miracle workers. Think for a moment what a farmer actually does. He He or she creates food in large quantities that the population depends on with strategic planning, quality land and seed, consistent care of each plant, and ultimately reaping the crop harvest. Over the last 75 years or so, farmers are required to know how to use large machinery and sustainability techniques to maximize the limited land available for use. The characteristic I find most intriguing in farmers is the tireless perseverance, their continual and consistent will to handle all that comes along. Storms, insects, weeds, drought, diseases, all can destroy a crop within a snap of a finger. Yet farmers deal with each situation and continue to tend their crops, replanting, weeding, seeking new innovative and efficient ways to harvest the best food or crop. They do it all for others, their neighbors, their community, far and wide, day in and day out, providing food for all of us without as much as a simple thank you. The thought of this monumental and thankless task makes me weary even speaking about it. Could this be a parallel to walking a life of Christ? As a follower of Jesus, not every day is filled with hugs, songs, and rainbows. God calls all of us to show patience, diligence, and perseverance, like all successful farmers possess. Taking it a step further, these traits certainly are required for anyone wishing to keep doing good in a world where evil is thriving. Doing good. Two words that can have a broad meaning. I believe each day most of us try to do good as recommended in Galatians. We're not Darth Vader or Lex Luthor wringing our hands, ha ha ha, actively plotting ways to do bad each day. We attempt to live a life that hopefully honors and respects God through mindful choices and actions. We put the grocery cart back. We help the elderly woman with her packages. We give to the church. Doing good. And like the farmer faced with so many challenges in growing a successful crop, each of us face daily problems and hurdles that test and even derail our godly way of life. Think for a moment, how many of us get up each morning with great intention to follow in Jesus' footsteps, bounding out of bed, ready to make a difference and be a positive force of good? I would say that number would be quite large, staggering perhaps. Now, out of that number, how many fall short within a few hours? Exactly. Life and its trials and negativity quickly floods in. Heck, all you have to do is watch the news on TV or your social media feed, and guaranteed in seconds you will say or think something not good. Me personally, I have days when I have screwed up before my feet hit the floor. And further, I get weary, and I am betting so do you. So we give up, right? We throw in the towel. Let the weeds of evil choke out God's goodness in this world. Of course not. Because like a good farmer, we have internal strength and perseverance that comes from the Holy Spirit, driving each of us to keep trying to live the life God wants us to do. Remember, the harvest or kingdom is promised and worth it, and we are not alone. God walks with us through this journey of ups and downs. We are not alone. We have each other. Go back to your kindergarten lessons. Working together is better than going alone. No one said life was a picnic, and Christian life has never been one that was called easy breezy. However, the more people who muster the courage to care and to try to do good in this life, the sooner we all will see real aspects of the kingdom here on earth. Today's farmers and growers use ancient knowledge combined with contemporary techniques to assist in efficiencies that increase harvest quantity and quality while reducing workload. Their work is noble, and with growing popularity of sustainable farming, emphasizing the vital importance to our health and longevity with organic produce. Without a doubt, there is honor in all professions, from rocket scientists to farmers. We all have unique talents and unique callings. This is God's plan at work. You will hear more in this podcast about the theme of perseverance and how sustainable farming is a positive force of good. I challenge you all today, when you are eating your next meal, take an extra bit of time to appreciate the miraculous process each vegetable or fruit took to come to you. Bless the immense hard work and its achievement. And consciously thank God for those who are called to never give up, so we all may be nourished and in turn allow each of us the opportunity to do what we are called to do. Farmers get to feel a joy and accomplishment with each harvest. God wants us all to feel happiness and joy only He can give us. And to do it, we must persevere as those before us, not become weary in doing good, and for the proper time, we will reap the greatest harvest in God's kingdom if we do not give up.
Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my hands, let them move at the impulse of Your love. Take my feet, let them be swift and beautiful. Take my voice, let me sing always on and on for You. Take my lips, let them be filled with Your truth. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my love, my Lord, I pour at Thy feet its treasured store. Take myself and I will be ever only all for Thee.
Welcome back to another episode of The Calling. Today we have owner of Taproot Fields, Josh Allen. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
I think that a lot of people who listen to this podcast are going to be from Central New York and the Finger Lakes region and will probably recognize the Allen name from Welch Allen and the Allen Family Foundation. But Taproot is not an enterprise of the Allen Foundation. And not a nonprofit, but from what I've read, it is conscientious and community-minded. I wanted to talk about that, but first, tell us a little bit about what brought you to where you are. Did you always figure you'd be a farmer?
No, actually. That's a great question. It was probably really far away from where I thought myself of really doing this, but for 15, 20 years, I've been kind of a green thumb, just on a smaller scale. At home, my mom is a great green thumb, and I learned a lot from her. And so in 2018, I kind of got together with this girl, and I was living out in California. She was from here and decided to, you know, settle back down here if we were going to commit to this relationship. And so I decided to make the jump and was back here and really questioning what I was going to do for work. And so I had a buddy of mine reach out, and he needed some consulting help on a smaller scale. And he said, you know, you'd be really perfect for this thing that's happening. And so I kind of made the jump. And part of this has been really on my end, seeing the benefits that people get from what we're doing. And that's a powerful thing for me. It's seeing and helping somebody, give them a quality of life, meant all the world to me. And so it really started this journey for me.
Cool. So originally, you purchased 57 acres on Jordan Road mm-hmm. in Skinny Atlas to develop your hemp farm, which, mm-hmm. By the way, I thought was interesting. I read that your crops absorb toxins in the soil.
They do.
So before you even harvest anything, you're already improving the environment. But you grow hemp, which, of course, can be used for clothing, among other things. You produce CBD oil and organic vegetables. Did you have to expand your operation in any way since you started in order to accommodate everything you do now?
Absolutely. So when we first started this and got our hemp license, it was 2019 at that point, and it was kind of the start of COVID, and really we weren't really sure about what the market was going to be doing. Obviously the toilet paper shortage kind of put up some red flags about where we were going to be, and so we always wanted to do food as well, but that year we decided to go heavy, and we leased another farm that was pretty much set up. I had water, a greenhouse, and fencing, and all the tools to get going. And so we started down this journey and started producing food. I had a friend who was furloughed from Cisco, and we gobbled him up. He's a local guy, had a restaurant in town. He knows culinary skills, and so he was a great add-on locally in creating products for us.
Cool. Well, to avoid any confusion, the products that are made from your crops do not produce the same effect that marijuana does.
Currently, yes.
Currently. That could change. The laws are changing.
Yep.
Even though they come from a similar place. In fact, a lot of people use CBD as a non-addictive alternative approach to stress and pain management. When you started this farm, did you see a need in the community that required this sort of response?
Absolutely. I think, you know, we have so much going on in our lives right now. There's a lot of distractions. Obviously, if you turn the news on, it could be really demoralizing. There's a lot of anxieties, a lot of stressors. So my thing is a more holistic approach to this. I really believe that our Creator put this on earth for a reason and to serve a purpose, to help us. And so really, there is a huge need for this. And then also a need to get relief without having the high feeling so people can function in their everyday lives. Really, our seniors have the most to benefit from this with anti-inflammatory and then just with dementia, Alzheimer's. It kind of slows the progression. It's been known as a neuroprotectant. Saving your brain in a lot of ways, turning gray matter into thriving brain matter. So there's a lot of new studies showcasing and showing this. And so we're really excited about that potential. And I think there's a real need now more so than others. A lot of people are using pharmaceutical drugs and there's a lot of side effects and it's costly and there's a lot of negatives that are associated with that. So we feel that more holistic approach is better for your mind and your body.
That's great. I think so. All right. Well, at this point in the show, this is where we play a game we call Not My Thing. I'm going to ask you some questions about something that is superficially related to what you do.
Sure.
So you probably don't know the answers, but that's part of what's fun about it.
Sure.
Okay. So question number one, an estimated 90% of American farms are owned by who?
Man, probably at this point, a lot more corporations than
anything
else.
You would think so, but 90% of American farms are owned by families and individuals like yourself.
Awesome, that's good to hear.
Yes. This common farm animal can run a mile in 7 minutes.
Cow?
You'd think it was a cow or a horse or something with long legs, but it's actually a pig.
Ah!
It certainly is not me.
Especially with dinner times calling. Right,
yeah, but how did they get a pig to run that far? That's the question. Question number three, bees have to fly 55,000 miles and visit 2 million flowers to produce this much honey.
A kilo?
Just one little 1 pound bottle.
That's wow.
It. Yeah, that's crazy. Question number four, chickens aren't really known for their ability to fly, but if pushed, how far do you think they can go without touching down?
Say 100 yards.
Yes, exactly. Yeah,
really?
You got that one right.
Wow.
That's amazing. Justin Bieber may get his peaches out of Georgia, but this state grows 75% of America's peach crop.
Let's say New York.
It's not. It's actually California. Mm. And the final question, and I bet you'll get this one right. 7% of American adults believe that brown cows produce this flavor of milk.
Chocolate.
Unfortunately. Well, is there anything else before we let you go, Josh, that you'd want to share about what you do?
Yeah, so we're really grateful to have this opportunity to be in a community mindset, in a small community. And part of our goal is to help our small community. We're really trying to give back to the Finger Lakes Land Trust, to the Lake Association, the conservation area. We just started a Skinny Atlas Community Garden, so we're hoping to bring people together. Really, my whole goal of this and why I came back and when we sold our company in 2015, I really wanted the gift that we've gotten from this sale to come back here and spend the money locally meant everything to me. And really, I love this place. I've seen it change a little bit with some of the problems we're facing right now with the lake and the blue-green algae. And my hope is to kind of change that and also change our food pyramid, basically, so we can give our community really healthy, nutrient-packed, safe, and affordable food options. So that's everything for us. What we put into our bodies, we're going to, you know, get the positive or negative out of it. Mm-hmm. And so really we're trying to educate people on the importance of what we're doing and why we're doing the things we're doing. We also are a regenerative farm, so we're trying to build topsoil instead of stripping it so we can continue to do this for many, many generations. We want to have a low impact, sustainable farm, basically. We're excited about those opportunities, and we're really excited about learning more and educating other people about what we're doing.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, today we've had the pleasure of speaking with Josh Allen from Taproot Fields. For more information about everything they're doing, go to taprootfields.com. Thanks for joining us, Josh.
Thanks for having me.
That's it for another episode. Please join us again in 2 weeks when we speak with Stephanie Brainerd, farmer and master gardener with the Cornell Cooperative Extension of Onondaga County.
And remember, the things you're passionate about are not random. They are your calling.